This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 18th day of November 2022. And tonight we have Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week, right? Okay, here's what I hear. Give out the number. Give out the number. Give out the number, right? Okay. So the number is, if you got a credit card especially, 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. All right, we already have a pledge. Wendy Wilson is pledging another $510. Thank you, Wendy. Okay, now, here, way back yonder, we have manning the phones. The phones, fellows. Well, those aren't, that's phone fellows, not phony fellows. Phone fellows, okay. Okay, and then in between here and there, we have in the glass cage the board op cop. There to keep the bad guys from getting through to us, Greg Zombo, Zombar.
Hello, everybody.
Yep, that's Zombar.
No, yes.
Not zombie.
No.
Zombar, right, okay.
It's not a fun nickname, though.
Right. Well, you've heard the cackle, okay, and the cackle, when you hear the cackle, you know that is the Studio Marm, Lock and Load, Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
You have a last name, right? Is it Manhick?
No, Hickman.
Oh, okay.
Hickman. Oh, yeah, Hickman. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. I was just kidding her, folks.
I know.
She doesn't get out much, so I turn her loose now and then. Get out of here! All right, there you go. And then here, live in studio, keeping me well. That wellness woman, Nurse Elaine Connolly.
Good evening, everyone.
And then out yonder, all the way down there in Texas, yes, with a 10-gallon hat, his cowboy boots, none other than co-founder of Cops for Christ International, Big John McTernan.
Well, good evening, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you, and we're going to have a good night, and bless all the listeners.
Well, I really do hope we're going to have a good night tonight. We really need it, and if we don't, they'll probably blame you. I hope not.
Don't comment. Hey, you got to give the date out. You forgot to give the date.
No, I didn't. It was the 18th, November 18th, 2022.
There you go.
Right, there you go. Do you know why we always do that?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know. It's because when we have to find an old program, all we have to do is listen to the first minute of it. We know we got the right program. That's why we did that. We started that a long time ago. So, because you know why? We've done thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of radio programs in 50 years. And so, that's why we do that. Now, we need to get right into it. The title of the message was not Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And since we have a Bible scholar with John McTernan, we'll get right into our scripture. John, I'm going to read from Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, and then you pick it up in chapter 4 and read verses 1 through 6. So, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not.
For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, and the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with my statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
All right, very good. Now, going back there, when he's talking about, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. Now, there's seven books in the Bible that, I'm not talking about the 66 books of the canon, I'm talking about seven books that are mentioned here. And, of course, this is one of them, the Book of Remembrance. And, you know, I want my name written in that Book of Remembrance. And this is what we do 7 days a week. We talk about the Lord, don't we?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie.
And then he says this, that when he says, and in that day I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So he's talking about God is going to spare us. What's he going to spare us from, John?
He's going to spare us from the tribulation period, Pastor Ernie, and what the Bible calls the day of the Lord in chapter 4.
And then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And so in that day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And that day then cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Who are they that do wickedness? Who are those that do the evil and the wickedness?
Well, anybody that doesn't follow the word of God and Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior.
Well, let's ask Elaine, because she knows a bunch of wicked people. Hey, Elaine. Well, if I was to say, Elaine, look, Chuckie Schumer just said now, he's calling for more illegal aliens, that we need to totally open our borders and bring more illegal aliens in here, because America is not replacing its birth rate, because we're killing The Chucky wants us to kill as many babies as possible, and then not only that, he wants to make the women infertile and the men infertile with the death shots. So kill as many children as you possibly can, okay? Then bring in more illegal aliens is what Chucky's saying. Would you say Chucky is an extremely wicked man?
He's satanic. He is totally not connected to our Creator, and he hates us as Christians.
If all of those that hate us, first of all, they hate God, right?
Correct.
They hate God, and then they look at us, and to them, we represent God, because we're always talking about God, right?
Correct.
But then they hate freedom, too, don't they?
Well, that's a secondary hate.
But before that, before they hate freedom, they hate life.
Correct.
The Bible says all of those, John, that hate God are hate life. Death. Right. And so now...
Ernie?
Yeah.
You mentioned liberty. I got a verse for that.
Yeah.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Well, John, how come we preach this way? I mean, how can we tell people that are wicked that they're wicked? I mean... Is that nice? I mean, most preachers won't tell a wicked person they're wicked. They believe that, you know, people like John the Baptist was out of order for calling out Pharaoh. They believe that, Herod, that Moses was out of order for calling out Pharaoh. Okay, that Peter was out of order for calling out Ananias and Sapphias and also calling out the... Wizard, what's his name? I'm having one of my senior moments right now. So they believe that people that preach like you and I shouldn't be doing that. It's not nice.
Basically, when you're walking with the Lord, you're a truth teller.
Okay, so you are to call out the wicked.
Correct.
And if most of the pastors in this country had the courage and had the integrity to do that, okay, what was the very first thing that Jesus said when he preached for the first time? The first message was what?
Repentance.
Repentance. He called them to repentance, right? Now, before you can repent, do you have to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner and you're on your way to hell?
Correct.
And so that's called logical, isn't it?
Well, it's common sense and logic, yes.
So if we had more preachers today in this country that were fire and brimstone preachers, would we have a lot less sin, do you think?
It should go hand in hand, and it has in the past.
So it has in the past. For example, let's just say that a number of the people that we have, the pastors like Franklin Graham, okay, Charles Stanley and others were to all preach fire and brimstone and call these people out and tell them to repent. Because, you see, they will preach against the sin of abortion. They will preach against others, but they don't often preach to the sinners, telling them they need to repent of that. They don't often call them out and say, listen, now let me ask you this. If all of these people... If Franklin Graham and Charles Stanley and all of these others were to be saying, Joe Biden, okay, you need to repent, Joe Biden. If the Pope was saved, okay, and he was to call out Joe Biden, okay, and tell him that abortion is murder, sodomy is sin, do you think, and Joe Biden, you do not take communion, Joe Biden, you don't take communion, you're a wicked person, right? Do you think maybe Joe Biden might not be so wicked?
I think he would be shocked, okay, that someone is calling him out.
Right. Well, believe me, if the pastors had the courage to do what they should do and boldly call these people out like Jesus did.
Well, they're too bought into the framework of keeping their churches open. You know, and it's a trade-off, you know, for the beliefs and the souls of their communities.
It's called symbolism over substance. And in Romans chapter 12, it says it's being conformed to the world. They're being conformed to the world, okay? And that's not a good thing, is it?
Well, they've forgotten their teachings.
All righty. Oh, boy, the phones have been quiet. Let me see. We have... Where do we leave off? Wait a minute. Let's see. No, you don't. You didn't get Wendy down for $510. I know, but it's supposed to be up there. Boy, wait till Wendy finds out you didn't even put her on the board. Well, alrighty. Joe in Staten Island pledges 100. Thank you, Joe. Okay. Phone lines are open at 888-281-1110. Folks, we need to hear from you. We really need to hear. We're going to bring you some stuff tonight. And we've been getting... Do you have that little clip? Why don't you play that little clip that we got? I just got one, too, warning telling me that people like me won't be around very long, okay?
Yeah, but, basically, you know, I got kind of... Well, I guess it is a threat, you know, by phone. For speaking the truth.
We get these things all the time, folks, but go ahead.
Hey.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I wanted to go back to these scriptures that we opened up with.
Yes, sir.
And when we go back to Malachi chapter 3 and we look at verse 18, it says, "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not."
That's why I was asking Elaine, who is the wicked, okay? Right, and that's exactly, that's who we
But it says, "And then shall they return." Where do we go? It says, "And I shall spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Well, it's the sparing, when you read on in chapter 4, is the day of the Lord that's coming and the tribulation period. So we that fear the Lord and serve Jesus Christ are going to be spared. And then it says, "Then we shall return." With Christ coming, and God's going to use us to judge those that are on the earth when he returns between the wicked and the righteous.
Absolutely. "Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgment." So does God's, in God's laws, God said, "I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing." So did he mean that? I mean, if we choose death instead of life, we choose a cursing, is that a sin?
Absolutely.
So now he says this, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, this is an interesting thing because John, from this time on right here, to the next time the Lord spoke to Israel, remember Gabriel? And when he came to announce the birth of John the Baptist, so that was 400 years, John. 400 years went in between that.
Right.
And so he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." Who did Jesus acquaint with Elijah the prophet?
John the Baptist.
Absolutely, yeah. It was John the Baptist. And then, but we have not seen that day yet. Now, there's two different days. People often confuse the days. The day of Christ always deals with salvation. The day of the Lord always deals with judgment, doesn't it?
Right. The day of the Lord is when Jesus Christ returns to judge the earth for the wickedness and set up his kingdom reign on earth.
Absolutely. So when we preach every day, we give an invitation. And when we preach repentance, there are those out there, like the Word of Faith movement, that preach that repentance is not necessary for salvation. What's wrong with that?
Well, I believe, I know it's Luke 24, I believe it's 44, Pastor Ernie. Let me get the verse, and let's hear what the gospel is. Yeah, here it is right here. It's verse 46. And then said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Absolutely. I've got to give this very quick. Linda and Kevin in Brooklyn pledged $200. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Kevin. And last night, when we went off the air, these were off-the-air pledges last night. Chuck in California, $200. Paul in California, $400. Andrea in Illinois, $1,000. Nancy in Illinois, $35. That's Katrina. Katarina in California, $500. Carla in Dallas, $100. Ken in Missouri, $500. Giza in Cleveland, $100. And Randy in Jacksonville, Arkansas, $100. Thank you. Okay, well, wait. Yeah, okay. Oh, yes. On behalf of Mary Emma in Glen Oaks, she pledges $102. Right? Okay. Thank you. And so, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet in before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so are we waiting to see Elijah come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children?
Well, Pastor Ernie, we won't see that because that'll be during the tribulation period.
So, and we won't be here for that tribulation period. No.
Right. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
But now, why won't we be here at the tribulation period? Let me ask you this. Because, see, there's a lot of people that are mid-tribbers. They think we will be here during the tribulation period, okay? Others are post. But tell me this, John. What is the purpose of the tribulation? Does God have a purpose with the tribulation period?
Oh yeah. There's several purposes. He's going to judge the wicked. He's going to destroy the world system. And he's going to work amongst his people, Israel, to bring them really on their knees to see their need for Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
So the main purpose of the tribulation period is the purification of the wife of God. You know, he refers to Israel as the wife of God and the church as the bride of Christ. Now, one of the two has repented and has been purified, okay, through being born again. The other one has not yet repented and therefore has to go through the purification period because they rejected Messiah. John, I think you know which is which.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, because I repented on August 4th, 1974.
There you go.
Christ is my Savior.
Amen. So there you go, and we see that the church, the real church has already repented. The real church has been born again believers. I'm talking about the real church, not the professing church out there, but the real church. And so the purpose is to purify, and the nation of Israel has not yet repented. And so the purpose of the tribulation period is to purify the nation of Israel and to punish the unsaved wicked, is it not?
Yes, yeah. The religious system, well, during the first half of the tribulation period is called the Whore of Babylon, and that's going to be judged. And then the beast, the Antichrist, sets up worship of him, and then that will be destroyed at Christ's coming.
Okay. So, again, then there would be no purpose at all for the church to go through the tribulation period But are there numerous places in Scripture where the Lord, the Bible tells us that the church will escape the wrath of God?
Yes. Several, many places, yes.
So now also one other thing real quickly. There are those out there that the Lord says that he's returning for those that are looking for his return, those that are looking for his return. What if you are a believer that you got saved, but you're still messed up on that doctrine and you're not looking for his return? So will they have to stay during the tribulation period?
Well, Pastor Ernie, my belief on that is if they really know Christ as their Savior, no. God, they'll be taken. They're in error doctrinally, but they'll be taken. That's what I believe.
All right. Well, you're a pretty smart guy, so if that's what you believe, I'll have to go along with it. We'll be back right after this.
In God we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the second American Revolution today. Be a part system. The second American Revolution today.
Yes, and folks, Curtis in Vancouver, the pledge is 200. Thank you, Curtis. Folks, listen, we have 1 hour and, let me see, 1 hour and 5 minutes left, right? 1 hour and 5 minutes left to raise approximately $4,900. We got to raise approximately $4,900. Okay, so we got to get your help to do it tonight. Now, what we're going to do, when over the years, because I've been married 54 years, last Wednesday was my 54th.
Congratulations, Pastor.
And, you know, it's hard to believe, but sometimes I did things that didn't please my wife. She thought things were really stupid that I did. And you know what? She would call me a dumbhead. Well, I'd hurt to be a dumbhead. You didn't want to be a dumbhead. Now, what we're going to do, you're going to play that clip that you have, and then we'll leave it up to McTernan on national radio to decide, because that guy gives his name, whether or not he's a dumbhead.
Well, bottom line, he doesn't give his name. He woke up not too brilliant today because his name is on my phone along with the phone number, and it's an individual from Lansing, Michigan.
Shall we call him and put him on national radio and let McTernan?
Well, if he keeps it up, this is the second message.
Hello, Elaine. I suggest you watch or learn about what's happening to Sherry Tenpenny, because you and Squirrely Ernie will be doxed. Thank you.
All right. So, John McTernan, would you say that, what was his first name?
He didn't give his name.
Okay. But it came up on your phone.
The first initial is an R.
Okay. But it came up on your phone. I would give it.
Last name is on my phone.
All righty. You don't want to give, but John.
Well, if I get another one, I will.
All right, John. It's up to you to make this decision to declare whether or not he's a dumbhead.
I would say without a doubt, Pastor Ernie, he's a dumbhead.
There you go. There you go. Listen, it's one thing being a dumbhead, but being a dumbhead coast to coast, that's another thing, right?
Well, he earned it. He earned it.
He certainly did. Now, when I got to get...
When you look at it, Pastor Ernie, how dumb he is, because Tenpenny has been up front in so many things about COVID and COVID-19 and the remedy for it, like ivermectin and all of that. Who knows how many people have been spared taking the death shot by her, and also have been greatly helped by the remedy she's offered. So it never ceases me when I hear stuff like that, how dumbhead. Yeah, dumbhead's the word. Yeah, what else can you put on?
Well, do you know what God has to say? We just read what God has to say. I'll read it again. So, dumbhead, listen, because this would apply. Sherry Tenpenny is a wonderful lady, and she helps people. She helps a lot of people. And here's what the Bible says, "And you shall tread down the wicked," that means dumbheads, "for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." So we'll just give you, dumbhead, you need to repent. The only remedy for sin is repentance. That's what God's Word, the Bible, says.
And bottom line is, Sherry Tenpenny started Hugs Over Mass, Northeast Ohio Hugs Over Mass, in 2020, and I'm the contact person for that group.
Well, then, if you want a hug from Elaine, give her a call. What's the number?
440-478-4073.
All right, there you go. That's Hugs Over Mass, and also your wellness, because she has all kinds of different products and things for wellness, right?
Correct. And just advice on how to handle the pressures and strains of what we're going through.
Yep, absolutely. Now, John, I'll bet McTernan doesn't know anything about venom sacs growing. I'll bet you haven't grown a venom sac, John.
Pastor Ernie, I just happened to watch probably about a half of a video on it, and it was astonishing that what they're finding, how this vaccine is really affecting the DNA of people in a real serious way.
They've discovered, John, listen to this, they've discovered that more and more people are dying. And listen to this, John, the CDC has not been truthful at all.
Big surprise.
And a whole lot more people are sick and dying. And, well, we're going to play this clip on this. And this is Ruby.
Jane Ruby.
Listen to what she has to say, folks. It's very important. And we had, go ahead and take it away.
Bioterrorism expert, Dr. Tao Braun, who returns to the show with an entire refresh on his findings relative to what's in the C19 shots, particularly the boosters. And he's got corroborating evidence of their relationship to synthetic animal venom. But first, I think it would be helpful to reintroduce the latest information on the broadening scope of C19 as an envenomation illness program from multiple toxic venom-producing animals, in addition to snakes and other than snakes. One of the most startling revelations from Dr. Artis's recent multi-animal venom update a couple of weeks ago on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show was that the government itself has been studying, put that in quotes, highly venomous cone snails under the pretext that it will help to find an antidote, since this is apparently a worldwide risk. These are snails that live like at the very depths. I mean, like, I can't even quantify it, but so far down that most humans, if any, get that deep into the ocean. It's ridiculous on its face. As I said, these are super deep ocean animals that rarely come into contact with human beings. And if that's really the case, then why aren't they just studying the venom itself from these animals to then develop a counteraction antidote? Probably because these poisons are now their tools of mass genocide. And they're not looking for a reversal or antidote for the population. Who knows? Maybe they already have it for themselves. So I want to turn your attention to picture labeled number one here. This is a title page. Very interesting work that our NIH does with its sub-agencies, right? This is a title page from a published article in one of the NIH subsidiaries called the National Institute of Standards in Technology. And it's entitled, How the Cone Snail's Deadly Venom Can Help Us Build Better Medicines. Well, this article, basically, when you look through it, it romanticizes this cone snail research effort. And it proclaims that there are about 250,000 components of snail venoms across the species of cone snails that can be studied. A small number of them, they acknowledge, are known to kill people. And I actually think we have the website. So let's roll through the website, because I'm paraphrasing a little bit here what they've said in the beginning of this article. One of them is actually more potent than morphine. A small number of them are known to be able to kill a human being, while the majority of them are basically neuroparalytics. That means they can stop your breathing. This venom can stop your breathing because the muscles associated with respiration, primarily like your diaphragm, get paralyzed upon exposure to these particular venoms. We're actually going to hear much more detail around this and the rest of the government dangerous plan in just a moment, in the next couple of segments with Dr. Braun. I wanted to review on the DOJ website very, very briefly. If you go to the DOJ website, conotoxins, potential weapons from the sea. And they talk about how, oh, somebody could get these and create a bioweapon against us, so we better study them first. And they go on to talk about the different types. So I want to call your attention. You can clearly go to that website yourself and see what's happening. But first, I want to share some information with you, because we've got the ginned up war in the Ukraine, soaring inflation, $30 trillion in debt and rising. Frankly, it's looking worse than anything we saw in 2008.
All righty, folks, we're back. And the phone lines are quiet. We can't have them quiet because we'll be in real trouble. You know, Elaine and John, remember from the very start, before anybody had taken one of the COVID killer shots, we were telling people here that all of the animals that were tested, that every one of the animals that they tested, we had died.
Correct.
And so we were telling you folks that they want to give these shots to us. They're untested. They're experimental. And all of the animals that they experiment died. Now, that's not a good sign, is it?
No, it isn't.
And so we were way out there telling you this. We were also, we had told you about the Biden crime cartel, how they were dealing. John, you know this. We were the first ones out there telling people out there that Biden was the gatekeeper, to keep the doors open on the border to bring the drug cartels. He's working hand in hand with the drug cartels. They're making $14 trillion,
mm-hmm.
and he's working hand in hand with the child human smugglers. We told you this. Well, now, guess what? All of a sudden, when Jim Jordan and the Republicans and their committee come out, they found evidence that what we told you right from the beginning. But we won't be here to tell you that unless we hear from you tonight. And the phone lines have got to light up. Well, they are starting to line up. And let's see. Janet in New York pledges 50. Folks, we got to hear from you. 888-281-1110 or 888.
Yeah.
Let me get this number out.
Yeah.
888-677-9673. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I was thinking just before the election how this show was jammed. There was someone that was in the military and said that they heard the jamming. They contacted me about it and said that it was very high class military type jamming of your show. So why would they jam your show, Pastor Ernie, except that you were being very effective and they wanted to try and silence you before the election?
Yeah, right after the election, boom, it stopped. And I'm not complaining because we've had to broadcast under combat conditions, huh?
Well, right. So I want all your listeners to realize the effectiveness of the show. Obviously, they didn't want this information that you're giving nightly out to maybe encourage people to go out and vote. So they tried to silence you.
Yeah, well, they've been trying to silence me, that MoveOn.org and others, for years and years and years. And we've been, but by God's grace, and it's only by God's grace that we're still here. He's, no matter what they've done, there ain't no quit in this ministry, is there, John? We've got no quit in us, do we?
No quit.
Besides this being a war of evil against good and a spiritual war, it also is a war of information. And so when they start to try and silence you, bully you, label you as a misinformation person, you know you're over the target and you are on the right track.
Absolutely. And one of the things that really bothers them the most, John, is we've talked about the pedophilia, how the pedophilia is rampant. It's rampant. It's rampant within the Democratic Communist Party out there. And we can tell you this, too. If you think that this last election was even close in any way to being legitimate, it wasn't. Folks, believe me, this election was rigged again, and we brought you the numbers, we showed you. Look, let me just say this, and then we got to get back to this. In Arizona, 17% in Maricopa County, 17% of the votes came in were from the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party voted 17% of those. And yet, Hobbs gets 51% of the vote. This is not possible.
Things do not compute. I know that they were talking about percentages with some of these runoffs in the different states, and they had figures of votes underneath the percentages that didn't add up.
What about this? In New York, five different counties, where the vote count was exactly the same. In other words, even though some counties and boroughs have three times as many people as others, in five different ones, the vote count was exactly the same. That happened in New York and happened in California. What do you think the mathematical odds of that are, John?
It's negative, Pastor Ernie. It's impossible.
Okay. But again, the election, again, it was like it was the last time. People saying, will we ever have a fair election again? I don't know, folks, but I do know one thing. God has raised us up for such a time as this. He has raised us up for this time, and he has told us resistance to tyranny is obedience to him, and he's told us to run to this battle. Let's go back with Jane Ruby. We're going to hear more.
You could be at risk again. Right now, thousands of Americans are using an IRS loophole, but I want to call to your attention because this adds physical gold and silver to their retirement plans and protects them. Call 855-791-2619 and talk to the people at GoldCo to get a free IRA kit. You'll use this for your health and wellness team, Enigma, Mike Adams, Dr. Brian Artis, and so on.
So, you know, there's the idea of taking this down the street and asking people, oh, analyze this vial or analyze this, or can you please give me the, you know, do some mass spectrometry work. We really are working here where it's, you know, we're chasing leads and those leads take us to places. Yeah. And then there's some really good conclusions, but those conclusions are being made a lot by stringing pieces of information together. I found it very frustrating, for example, when I was a kid to play Cluedo. It wasn't entertaining for me to sort of stay within the box and have these variables. So I've got a high tolerance to sort of and sort of threads that need to come together. That's much more, it's much more stimulating for me. I'm good at it. I can put pieces together.
Understandable.
But the public likes things in black and white. And I wish that we were getting to a point where it was much easier. Let me ask you a question directly about what's in here. I think it's very important that people realize that there's been a lot of information around, let's say, graphene oxide. And then there's been a lot of information. I think I was not the first person to discover that the potential that this was venom, but certainly the first person that illuminated it as it related to a weapon. You know, I found papers early on about the genomic sequence. I started understanding that there were neurotoxins in this. I started understanding and working backwards. What would this mean? Why wouldn't these toxins just be, you know, sort of easily understood? And certainly, if anyone analyzed it, why couldn't they just be found easily? And the answer is that the bulk of this research into this type of mRNA type of treatment and the use of something that creates a sort of a universal antibody comes from work where they basically introduce toxins into the body in various ways. And the modern way of doing that in a 2022 world is to combine it with graphene oxide. So when people are confused and they say, well, I heard from Dr. Jane Ruby that this was graphene oxide, or I heard from Karen Kingston that this was, you know, this, and we're now calling it that. I think it's really important that this would be the equivalent of saying to somebody, I don't understand what you're telling me. This cake, you told me that the cake, you know, had eggs and the cake had flour, and the cake had icing on it, and the cake had spring. It's all of it. It's all of it. That's what makes up a cake, right? And so how do you get venom into the body, and how do you keep it stable? You add graphene oxide. Like, that is how it's done. There's no conspiracy here. There's no myth.
But what they want to know is, I think they understand those pieces. How are they getting it and some people not getting sick? We've got two things here, and I want to keep them straight. You have the shots that most people have voluntarily taken. And then you have the illness where people didn't take any shots, or maybe they did. But I'm just saying, there were the shots. And nicely coordinated were government announcements for different variants of something they couldn't even isolate to begin with or diagnose. But the more important point is, when they said, oh, Delta, people got sick across the country and across the world in those pockets. Oh, we got Omicron. People got a little sick, you know, with flu like hot. So we've got two different, how are they get? We understand it's all wrapped up in graphene and it's all the ingredients of the cake. How are we getting exposed to these bioweapons?
Let's call this the Masada principle. If you have a fortress and that fortress is impenetrable and that fortress is going to take a long time, in terms of that they can self-sustain, they've done really good prep work. You know, Masada in Israel, back in the day when we know the incident of Masada, we know that it was like a bunker. We know that these people they prepared really well for this. So how do you get to them? Well, you get to them by getting their leadership to suicide. So how do you get a bioweapon to the world? Well, you get people to go and take their kids and line up and get vaccinated. You get people being forced at work to get vaccinated. You get people given the choice.
Right.
You're either going to have food on the table.
Right.
So the most important thing for people to understand is that this bioweapon wouldn't have worked without buy-in, and it stops when people stop getting buy-in. I think that's crucial, because that sort of takes us from the space of, well, how would they have done this? And is this in the water? Regardless of what they did before, we know what they're doing now, and that's getting people to suicide. That's the Masada principle. That's number one.
That's the shots.
Number one.
All righty, we are back. We want to say thank you to Janet in New York for pledges 50, Frank in Cleveland 25, Peggy in Detroit 50, Linda in Philly 100, and Mike in Massachusetts pledges 50. Thank you, thank you. All right, 888-281-1110. We have less than 1 hour. We have 55 minutes left to raise. We have a lot of money to raise. And also 888-677-9673. Take us back to Jane Ruby.
No, yep. You get it. You never know what you're getting. Okay, let's go to the other side where you tie this in with your work with Dr. Brian Artis. In other words, these synthetic animal venom materials, we've seen the evidence. The government makes it. We got it. How are they getting it into people? And, of course, the terrain theory. If I'm healthy, I don't always get it because I'm exposed to it.
Okay, but the thing that's frustrated me the most from this that's been left out is you have to look at the engineers and the things that they were specialists in. So you had Francis Collins running the NIH. And what's he a specialist in? He's a specialist in genomics. He's a specialist in genetic engineering. He's a eugenicist who basically said, oh, I'm no longer an atheist. I'm converted. I now believe in a God. You know, he never said what that God was. Maybe that God was the Fourth Reich. You know, he never said what that God was. He just said, I am now into religion. I'm no longer an atheist. And what his specialty was the genetic sequence, the genomic sequence, the human genome is a gigantic book of code. And we now know that we really have to factor in genetics into everything. If I tell somebody, oh, you should eat kale. Kale's really good for you. Well, that's no longer valid, because what I know about their genetics, what I know about their ancestry, kale might not be good for them at all. If you give a cat greens, it throws up. It is poison. You cannot feed a cat greens. However, a dog can eat some greens, some vegetables, and it will be fine. There are genetic differences with us. Mm. Venom is highly specific when it comes to genes. Why is this crucial to understand? It's crucial because venom is expensive. It is very expensive energetically. I'm not talking about the cost of it in dollars or in any other currency. I'm talking about biologically, venom is expensive to grow in the body. It costs a lot of energy. It is stored and it is used extremely wisely by a creature. So if a creature, for example, eats rodents, it doesn't have venom that takes down amphibians. It doesn't have venom that takes down fish. It takes venom that takes down the thing that it eats, rodents. Mm. And when it tries to eat a prey, that is another creature, that venom is going to be ineffective. So why are certain people totally fine from this? I'm going to tell you that this was built by the Fourth Reich, and I'm going to tell you that Aryans are not having a problem with this vaccine. Mm. I'm going to tell you that you can stick this into an Aryan over and over. And what do I mean by Aryan? I mean people that originally came from Viking heritage, Germanic heritage, and that basically you can go and look in those principles of what Nazis believe the superior race to be. And I'm going to tell you, this weapon was not built for them.
How do you know that? What evidence do you have to that effect?
Well, we know that the spike protein affects chromosome 3. And we know it's a sequence of genes on chromosome 3 that relates to Neanderthal genes. Neanderthal is not Aryan. Neanderthal was a very specific tribe in Europe. They didn't move often. Mm. And over time, they basically, some people would say, interbred with what we call modern-day humans. I'd say the modern-day...
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio,
4-4-0-6-5. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-SHARE-24. That's 833-SHARE-24. 833-SHARE-24. 24.